So how do you know if you can trust somebody?
Feeling.
Your feeling. You feel it. Yeah. Yeah. Start out by knowing yourself. All right, you guys got it. Forget it. Let's just have some more music, shall we? Ernest Hemingway said the best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust somebody. And you all have said really much more than that. But that's easier said than done, right? A little conventional wisdom that isn't always easy to follow, especially if we are in a place of fear, right? This is our second in a mini-series on fear. Last week we talked about, it's not on fear, but overcoming fear. So last week we talked about taking spiritual refuge and making spiritual refuge and being spiritual refuge for one another. And today we're talking about developing trust, not just trust, but absolute trust, implicit trust, something that we don't even question anymore, that kind of unwavering sort of trust. And what is that trust in? The trust, of course, is in spirit. The trust is in ourselves. And then by extension, then, it's easy to trust one another because we've got it grounded inside of us. So let's take another look at this fear thing, because this fear thing, it gets in the way, doesn't it? Gets in the way of our relationships, it gets in the way of taking risks in our lives, it gets in the way of our good, our ever-flowing good, in all ways. And so it's something that we are not necessarily looking to push away, because you know what we resist does what? Persist. You guys are so good. You know it all already. But it is actually just to work with it, to allow ourselves to transform it. What is fear? Maybe some of you have heard this buzz before too. This acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. And sometimes that might help us to recognize, okay, this isn't really truth. This is something that feels really real, and my palms are sweaty, and my knees are knocking, and my heart is thumping out of my chest, so it sure feels real. But I know in truth there's something else here. So even knowing that intellectually can begin to help us. The path is usually from head to heart, especially for us Westerners. So it's only 18 inches, as Leilani Burt, the trainer of the prayer chaplain, says. It's not a very far drop, but sometimes it feels like a really long journey, doesn't it? But this is where trust is. This is where we're going to find trust. And so our journey to transform fear into trust is to really bring ourselves from this place of, okay, I'm going to confront it. I'm willing to be vulnerable. To, okay, I accept that I really need to be vulnerable. To, oh, now I get it. Now I really believe that this is what works, that I need to work this in order for it to work, that this has become now a part of my creed, that vulnerability is a key way, embracing my fear is a key way that I begin to open to trust and to create then trusting bonds and connections that last and people I can count on in my life, and I too become a person that can be counted on, right? Because we trust people who are in integrity, right? Their actions, their words, and who they are, how they show up, it all flows together. There's a sense of alignment. That's something that allows us to trust somebody. When somebody holds us and listens to us, you know, holds a space for us, then there is a sense of trust. I apologize, my microphone is slipping, so I'm going to do one more adjustment. Let's see if it, there we go. Now we're better. The sound guys are like, thank you. So this process then of trusting can be a process of that allowing, believing, coming into this place. I'll give you an example. Years ago, some friends of mine had become adept at bringing this idea of the slicing through a board. Have you seen that before? People breaking through a board in seminars? Yeah. So they had started to incorporate this board breakthrough thing in their seminars. And they told me about it, and I said, oh, wow, I'd like to do that. And they said, okay, you want to do it right now? And I was like, oh, okay. Sure. And one of them was one of my classmates in ministerial school, so I really valued her, and it's still still crunching here. It's me. All right, very good. Let's do that. It's my hair, it's my earring. There's all kinds of issues here. Next week, shaved head, no jewelry. I have been there before, so don't put it past me. Yeah, sounds like a challenge, yeah. Vulnerability, right? There it is. Wow, you've taken me back on a completely different path. We're going to move forward. We're going to break the board. Yeah, so the board comes. My friends come back in the house with the board. And on one side, they instruct me to write my fear down. And on the other side, write down what it is that I want to move toward. You know, what is it that I'm breaking through into? What is the transformation, the intention on the other side? So we love this stuff, don't we, us Unity folks? This is what we do, right? So what a fun new way to explore truth, you know? So I'm ready. You know, I'm ready, and my friends have done it, so I can do it. I know lots of people have done it in these seminars, and so I'm just sort of getting all jazzed up, and you know, and then I hit the board, and only my hand is, you know, affected, not the board. That was a nice thick board, and my hand is aching now, so I'm like, okay. Well, I can do this, you know, and so again, sort of this sort of revved up kind of, there's sort of this bravado going on in me that, you know, I can do this. And again, same thing happens, hit the board and it hurts. So I backed up for a minute and dropped inside. This is one I want you to remember to do. Back up a minute and drop inside. Whenever you're feeling afraid, whenever you're feeling uncertain, whenever you have something big before you that feels big to you, whatever that is, drop inside. And there you will find everything you need. And so when I did, I asked myself, what's going on? And I could kind of feel that sort of fear of the ego, you know, like I wanted to succeed. I wanted to do this. What would it mean if I couldn't do it? Oh, you know, I can't really surrender. I'm not really working these principles. I don't really know how to work with this flow. I'm not really, you know, all that stuff. So when I just looked at it, it's sort of like, oh, honey, you know, I want to encourage you to bring that with you, you know, for yourself. Oh, honey. It's like when you know, when a child is hurt or scared, it's our natural instinct. We all do this. We want to, you know, allow that child to come into our arms if that's something that's going to feel better for them. And you know how that is when you're holding that child and then you feel, especially a small child, you can feel how their body goes from this like really stiff, tense place to just like, oh, complete softness, let go. That's kind of what I'm talking about. That's what happens when we hold this kind of space for ourselves, when we look, embrace, check out the vulnerability that's there and make friends with it. And then it just sort of melts. And we then melt and surrender into the truth that we are. And then, folks, we could do anything. We can do anything we possibly dream of when we are in that state of surrender, of compassion, of everything that spirit is. That's what we do. We shift into our divine nature. And then that's what happened. And then I could have broken that board or the next board or the next board because it wasn't me. It was just an energy moving through me. And literally it does feel like paper when you get into that place. That's what they say, right? That big board all of a sudden, to my great surprise, was laying in two pieces on the ground. But it wasn't by might. It wasn't by my ego. It wasn't by the force of my personal will. It was, in fact, by the opposite of that, the surrendered willingness to move into vulnerability and to say, yes, God, use me. That's what trust is about. That's how we develop trust, is by making friends with our vulnerability. Anybody know Dr. Brené Brown? Yeah. Yeah, queen of vulnerability, right? She's a researcher, and she's researched vulnerability. She gave a TED talk on the power of vulnerability that went absolutely viral and launched her career. And since then, she's done really great work around shame and related other related things. So I encourage you, if you want to do more with this topic, the first thing to do is to watch Brené Brown's TED Talk on the power of vulnerability. And there's more. If you like that, you'll find more. But what Brené Brown says is that vulnerability is the birthplace of creativity, of joy, of belonging, of connection. Oh, really? We got to go there? Vulnerability? Because we all know it's uncomfortable to go to those places that make us feel exposed. That's what vulnerability is, right? It makes us feel exposed. That's where our fear lies. But what we are imploring, what she's imploring us to do, is step closer, not try to avoid. She said that we are the most in debt, obese, addicted adult cohort in U.S. history. Why? Avoiding our vulnerability, we've gotten really good at it. But you know, it's not really good because we know none of those ways last, right? None of those, you know, addictions to material things or to outer substances or to food or whatever it is that we try to do to sort of stuff that vulnerable space in us work ultimately. And so we began to recognize that maybe something else might work a little better for us. And that's when we turn to God. That's when we turn within. That's when we begin to develop this kind of trust. You know, when we trust ourselves and when we trust Spirit, there is no question that we will have trusting bonds with others. Because it all begins here, right? And we can certainly do our work in relationship, which will strengthen our own trust in ourselves too. But often the direction is from within out. And so this is where our spiritual practice comes in handy. Brené Brown says that vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. It sounds like truth and it feels like courage. There isn't anything weak about truth or courage. I know a lot of us have been taught that, a lot of men in particular, but women too, have been taught that. But there is nothing weak in truth and courage, which is exactly what vulnerability does in action. So making friends with this is our way. Vulnerability is to love and to act without guarantees. To be the one who says, I love you, or I'm sorry, first. The one who says, I'm not sure I completely understood. Tell me again, and I'll listen with a more open heart. The one who is the mature one, the one who is willing to hold that kind of spiritual maturity, is somebody who is willing and courageous enough to be vulnerable. That's what we are creating here in this community. That's my intention, and I'm sure it is yours too, to continue to do this heart work, to continue to develop these strong bonds that say, I know that this is a place where I am safe. I know that this is a place where I can express myself freely. I know that this is a place where people have my back. And when I make mistakes, I get helped up again and again and again. That's my intention. Are you with me? You like that kind of community? All right. Because as we are stronger and stronger and stronger together, then we are stronger and stronger and more able to help the world. And that is a part of our vision too, as we spiritually awaken together. Maya Angelou said, have enough courage to trust love one more time, and always one more time. Yeah. So I was thinking about other people who embody this idea of trust, and one of my heroes came to mind, so I dressed in his honor. This is my Indian Punjabi, and my hero is Gandhi. Yeah, Gandhi just really, wow, talk about somebody who walked their talk. He really was a Christed, as we all are, but really expressed to the fullness of that Christedness, that divine in us, I believe. And one of the great things was his transformation. You know, a lot of times we think these spiritual giants come in with some kind of special, some mojo that, you know, we don't have, right? That they come in somehow ordained in a way that we didn't get. But that's not true. Gandhi was a really, really, really scared little boy. He was so scared that he would run home from school immediately as soon as school ended and shut the door behind him because he was so socially afraid, so afraid that he would be ridiculed. He was an underachieving student. He had nightmares all night about serpents and monsters and things that he was afraid of. He was just a really scared little boy. And even as a young man, at the age of 23, it's said by his biographers that when he went to India, he went to South Africa, rather, from India, that he was tongue-tied. He was really shy. And he was a small man of stature, as we know. So all of these factors just don't add up to what we then knew 10 years later, that he was called a saint by everybody who knew him. He grew into Mahatma. Mahatma Gandhi means great soul. It's a title. It means great soul. And they called him Bapu, father. Not just a father of children, father of a nation. How did this small man who started as a child and really didn't get too much higher in stature and physical stature have this stature of such a great soul? He, through the power of his implicit trust that he walked and talked and that he connected with spirit, that he helped his entire country, India, overthrow the British Empire. Nobody would have believed that were possible. The British Empire was taking over the world. Nobody would have believed any country like India could have overthrown such an empire. But they did. How? Through the soul force and magnetism of one man who got it and shared that trust with everybody he knew. The trust that he had in spirit, the trust that he had in himself, and the trust he extended to all of the other Indian people and South African people, because he did a lot of work in South Africa, which is where it began. When he began to be oppressed and discriminated against in South Africa, he coined the term and embodied the force of ahimsa, nonviolence. He said nonviolence was not, it's not just, you know, not hurting one another physically. Nonviolence is about not having judgmental thoughts. Nonviolence is not wishing ill on anyone. Nonviolence, he said, is even not having any undue haste. Not acting with undue haste. Wow, that's a big one, isn't it? I've been sitting with that one. It's like, oh, why? I don't remember reading that before. Rewind, you know. But it makes sense to me, you know, how we move in this culture so fast. How we move in our lives, how we take as a badge our busyness, you know, badge of honor. I've been so busy. It's like, that's violent. You really sit with that, you realize, ah, yeah, it's not kind. It's not kind to the body. It's not kind to the soul. It's not kind to one another to be too busy for each other. And so we rest then, and to think what he accomplished, right? So it's not about not accomplishing. It's about getting in the flow and moving with the flow of spirit, trusting guidance. Gandhi was somebody who would trust his intuition so much that people were thrown off because at the last minute he would completely change the strategy. He would completely change the direction because spirit gave him something new. Or he'd wait till the last minute because he hadn't gotten any guidance. So he stayed true to that intuition, and this is one of the ways that we develop our trust. When somebody says, I don't trust that person, we must think, or when we say it ourselves, maybe we can think a minute and say, do I trust myself, though? What is it in my intuition that is telling me I can't trust this situation? There might be something valid that we can't trust. It's not about the person not being a good person. But there may be something valid that we're not trusting. But then where can we find the trust? Inside. Where can we know which direction to go? Inside, right? And he was honed in this practice of knowing his spirit and knowing his guidance, and that's one of the keys. So the British, one of the stories is General Dyer, was responsible for this great massacre in India, and afterwards people were, you know, coming to Gandhi, and they were kind of getting up in arms, and they were getting really upset, and of course they wanted revenge, and all the things that we do, you know, when we're upset and we want to protect ours and our own. And he said, oh no, he said, we have to be unafraid to trust our opponent. We have to have, in fact, implicit trust in human nature. Implicit trust in human nature. It's the essence of the creed of nonviolence. And so what does he mean? He means the highest form of human nature, what we would call divine nature. You know, trusting the goodness, looking for the goodness, trusting. Right now in our world where we all are getting so worked up on separation with us and them and bipartisanship and those people don't know what they're talking about and these people are doing all these horrible things and, you know the stories. You listen to the news. You're in the conversations. But what if instead we looked for the truth, we looked for the good, we had implicit trust that whatever is happening, it doesn't mean that we don't take actions, but whatever is happening, there is something good at the core of it all. There is something good unfolding. There is something good coming into the light. The shadows are being illuminated. And trusting that process and trusting ourselves in that process to be the very expression of this kind of implicit, walking, talking trust. So this is our charge, to really move ourselves from those places of fear to a place of trust by embracing the fear, by opening to our vulnerability. This is how we'll create real connections and deepen the connections that we have and make new connections that we wish to have in relationship to one another, in relationship to all of life. By risking our vulnerability, by trusting our innate wisdom. And if all else fails, we can just remember what the author of Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie, said. All the world is made of faith and trust and pixie dust. Let's close out with an affirmation. I trust in the infinite wisdom within all life. One more time together. I trust in the infinite wisdom within all life. And so it is. God bless you.